Several weeks ago, Mr. Tim led a prayer in which he prayed, God help the parents to have patience. And I thought, you know, that's very fitting because patience isn't always my strongest suit. And so I went home and I was determined to meditate on that a little bit more. And I did. And I thought, you know what? I'm beating myself up so much over this whole patience thing. Maybe I need to beat you all up a little bit with patience too. So I'm going to preach on it this morning, and particularly the power of patience, because patience is a virtue that all Christians need to develop within their lives. And there are some things that we need to avoid that come from the lack of patience, particularly anger. Anger is the natural next step when we lose our patience with somebody. And really, it's patience that helps us dictate what's going to happen next, or a lack of patience is going to dictate what happens next. And the proverb tells us that's exactly what happens. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, the proverb writer says, "A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath." And then down in verse 18, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger calms strife." Now, when we struggle with patience, and the natural next step is losing our temper, being angry, which Scripture has a lot to talk about, there are a lot of negative results that come from that kind of reaction. Our anger just ends up stirring up more anger in someone else. I don't know, I'm sure you have, if you've been in an argument with somebody, and the more heated it gets, the more tempers start flaring, and eventually the whole conversation is just spiraled out of control. What we say and how we say it and the spirit in which what we say comes from has the power to diffuse the situation. Being slow to anger means being able to calm down the intensity and the fire of the situation. It means that we are able to have patience in a really volatile situation. And think about how important it would be to be somebody who can diffuse a situation instead of throwing gasoline on the fire. Think about how important it is when someone is already angry, how important it is that we are able to be patient with that person, to provide a gentle answer, to turn that anger away rather than stirring up more and more anger in someone's spirit. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure patience is always our most natural go-to. It's not natural for me to be a patient person. And we are tempted often to give that harsh word back, to really snap back at somebody or at some situation. The New Testament gives us a lot of commands along these lines so that our words would represent Christ. And that's really what patience is all about. It's about representing Christ to the world because our Lord was immensely patient. And so in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The only way you're going to be able to do that kind of thing in a really tense, difficult situation is if you're able to have patience. You think about all the filters that God says that we are to put on our mouths. No unwholesome or corrupt talk. None of that's supposed to come from our mouths. Second, the words that we must speak should be words that are only used for building up, for the good of building up. Words are meant to strengthen other people, which is why patience is so important. And then our words are supposed to fit the occasion. There's such a thing as saying the right words at the wrong time, which can end up making a lot of things worse. And our words need to give grace to those who hear. The hearer will receive the words like a gift rather than a curse. The Apostle Paul said something similar to the Colossian Christians in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And so our words are to be full of grace, not full of anger or poison. Our words are to be seasoned with salt. And the image is that we would prepare our words beforehand, before the other person ingests what we have to say. The only way that's going to happen is if we're taking advantage of the power of patience. And notice also that there is a picture of saying the right words in the right moment so that you know how you ought to answer each person. Having the right words and the right timing in terms is everything in terms of whether we will stir up wrath with our response or turn away wrath with our response. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the way we talk to people, even to those that we would consider our opponents. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness." Notice, we're not supposed to be provokers. Well, when you lose your patience, you end up provoking. We're not supposed to be quarrelsome. Instead, we're supposed to be kind and gentle with everyone. And think about the fact that our gentle words are not only to the people we like, they're to everybody, the people that we don't get along with as well. Even when we are correcting our opponents, we are told to do this with gentleness and humility. We're supposed to be able to use our words to diffuse any and every situation. We are use our words to bring grace to a situation. Our words are to be full of gentleness no matter what is happening, so that the hearer is hearing words of grace. And all of that is going to come if we can somehow harness the power of patience. Patience reveals wisdom and insight. Notice what the proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. "Good sense makes one slow to anger." That idea of slow to anger is the idea of patience. "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." I don't know that I've thought about this passage enough. Good sense, wisdom, and insight bring forth patience. That is the natural outpouring of having wisdom and insight. But then notice that second part there. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. It is a virtue for you to have the kind of patience that can overlook someone's transgression against you. How easy is it for you to overlook what someone has done to you? I'll be honest with you, when something happens between me and somebody else, it eats away at my brain for just hours and hours and days and days. It's easy to let it do that. Do we have the wisdom to overlook offenses rather than to give that harsh word and stir up more strife? We don't have to be fault finders. We don't have to poke at all the things other people say and do. Patience has the power to overlook problems and offenses. The Ecclesiastes writer says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 21, "Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others." Now, this is really where we get the power behind being patient. One of the ways that you're going to be able to be patient, one of the ways that you're going to be able to overlook the offenses or what people may say and do, is by remembering you are a sinner too. That you have committed the same faults that someone else has committed against you. You have said things that you should not have said. You have done things you should not have done. You have been absent-minded and forgetful. You have failed to do something that you should have done. You have said the wrong words at the right time, or the right words at the wrong time, or said the wrong things at the wrong time. That's what gives us the patience to say, you know what? I've been where you are. We're going to take a minute here. We're going to try and reconcile this with peace. And ultimately, this comes from looking at Jesus himself. Look at all the times in Jesus' life when people had all kinds of things to say against him. And he didn't respond in kind. He was patient with people. I think about, you know, the two thieves on the cross hurling insults at Jesus. And then eventually one of the thieves comes to see Jesus for who he is. And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." In fact, Jesus' own instructions on this: if your brother sins against you, Matthew 18, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. It takes patience to be able to do that. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Jesus doesn't come into this world and say, "Unleash your wrath, invent your spirit if someone sins against you." Jesus doesn't say, "If someone does something wrong, you should make sure and tell everybody else about it. Just inflame the situation." Jesus didn't come and say, "You know what, hold a grudge and be sure to hold it over their heads until the day that they die if they sin against you." The instruction is, be patient with that person and go to that person and resolve the issue with them. If this is something that can't be overlooked, then have a conversation with the person about it. And have that conversation in a way that obeys the commands in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 4, to let our speech be full of grace, seasoned with salt, to let our words be good for building up, fitting the occasion, and giving grace to the hearer. I really think that we need to see patience as a powerful tool. We need to see the power of it. Listen to Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city. You know, we live in a society where power is everything, and wielding as much power as you can is the best thing possible. And people want to gain more and more power. It's all about climbing the ladder and gaining more and more power for ourselves. And yet what the proverb writer says is patience is better, and controlling one's emotions, which is directly tied to patience, is better than some of the things that you would think are the best things in the world. Better than power. Or you think about the time that they were living in. What would be better than being a conquering army, going in and taking a city that you decided, "I'm going to go in and take"? That would be the height of glory for you. And yet the proverb writer says, having patience and keeping your emotions in check is better than any of that. Better than the best things that you might think would bring you glory. So often we think that strength is displayed with our anger. I can be strong and I can show people I'm strong if I immediately fire back with whatever answer I'm going to give. And the proverb writer says that doesn't show power at all. Rather, strength is displayed by ruling over your spirit. Power is displayed in the control you possess over yourself, over your emotions, over your words, and over your actions. Think about how strong you have to be to conquer a city. And God says, you're stronger than that. And it's even better to have the strength to control your spirit. Ultimately, if you've lived long enough and you've wrestled with yourself long enough, you finally come to realize wrestling with yourself is a lot harder than taking a city. And I couldn't take a city. It's hard. There's a reason, you know, we've been talking about shepherds in a local church. There's a reason that shepherds in a local church are given a number of different descriptions of patience as a qualification. They need to be patient in the work that they're doing. Paul told Timothy that a shepherd must be self-controlled, gentle, and not quarrelsome. All things tied directly to being a patient person. Paul told Titus that a shepherd must not be hot-tempered, not a bully, but self-controlled and disciplined. Patience is a crucial and critical component and reveals wisdom and maturity. Now listen to the contrast that the Proverbs offer. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit. A person who can't keep himself in check, can't be patient, is like a city that is broken into and doesn't have any walls. even as patience shows great strength, a lack of patience, a lack of self-control shows great weakness. An ancient city with walls broken down was a vulnerable city. It was going to be easy for anybody to walk in and do whatever they wanted to with it. There were no defenses. It was open to attack. And so lacking self-control means the very same thing. We've left ourselves vulnerable. We're open to Satan's attack. That's a very idea that Paul emphasizes in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." I'll just be frank with you. When we respond without patience, we are opening the door for the devil to come right in and have an impact on our lives. Our anger is an opportunity for the devil to come in and tempt us to sin even more. Patience is a critical power that we need in order to resist the devil. Because without it, we're not going to control our spirits and our emotions. How do we develop patience? Because again, it's not exactly natural for us. First of all, I think, and this is very important, we need to see that patience isn't optional. We think about impatience as being kind of like a minor sin in Scripture, but I'm not sure that's how we should see it at all. Patience isn't optional for a child of God. We can't fool ourselves that patience isn't something required and commanded for God's people. And so we can't excuse our impatience. Our impatience is a sin. It's a sin that opens us up to other sins. And so, you know, I'm guilty of this as well, but you know, we got to stop excusing our failure to control our spirits. And secondly, you know, we need to slow down and listen. James tells us, if you want to develop patience, if you want to be able to respond the way that you need to respond, don't be so quick to respond. Take a minute and slow down and do some self-examination. Listen before responding. Listen to words. It's what he says there in James chapter 1 and verse 19, being slow to anger and slow to speak. Listen to the words. Third, remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you have love if you're not patient? And one of the descriptors of love. We're commanded to be loving people. And yet, if we constantly fail to be patient with people, we have to ask that question. Am I actually loving the people that I'm interacting with? This gives a strong self-examination. If I'm unable to be patient, I think the answer is no. I don't love that person the way I'm supposed to love them right now. And let's just bring this into our lives. This should be pretty condemning for us in different areas of our lives. Think about it with your children. And this is exactly what Tim was praying about the other day. When we lose our patience constantly with our children, we are not expressing love towards them. Guilty. Think about it with our spouses. When we're not patient with our spouse and we're not slow to, you know, to get angry, are we displaying love? Well, the answer would be no. Love is patient. What about with brothers and sisters in Christ? If we're not patient with them, then we're not loving. And so developing patience is so incredibly important. And finally, the way to develop patience is to understand that patience is actually a sign of the Spirit. You think about what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, every aspect that displays that the Spirit is alive in you, stands against impatience, quick tempers, and anger. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And therefore, if we're going to develop patience, The answer isn't going to be, well, you know what, I'm just going to try and be more patient. That's not the answer. That will fail every time. Every time you say, well, I'm just going to try and do a little bit better than that, it's going to fail every time. These characteristics are described as fruit, as the fruit of the Spirit. The only way that you are going to truly develop the kind of patience that you need that's going to empower your life is by drawing nearer to God, who is the one who is going to allow this fruit to come out in your life. I need more of God in my life. I need to be closer to God if I'm going to see the fruit of the Spirit come out of me. We can be patient. We can be kind. We can be gentle. We can have self-control. The transformation will happen as we let God and His Word work on us. And if we're not learning from His Word, if we're not seeing God's greatness and glory, if we're not loving God with every aspect of our lives, if we're not drawing near to God in prayer, then the fruit of the Spirit will not develop in your life. And it won't come out from us in the form of patience. We need it. Love hinges on patience. Relationships hinge on patience. Our own relationship with God hinges on the patience that is developed by drawing closer to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are a people who need to draw closer to You, who need to love You more, who need to be so enamored with You that the things of this life and even ourselves become dim in comparison. Lord, as we've talked about this morning, the struggle of patience is that we are at war with ourselves and with what we struggle with. Lord, help us to draw near to You, to draw closer to You, so that we can develop this fruit of the Spirit, the patience that will lead to the restoration of relationships, the salvaging of relationships, love between parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and any other relationship that there may be. Lord, give this patience to us. And thank You for Jesus, who taught us on the cross what patience truly looks like. As curses and hate were hurled towards Him, He said, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Help us, Lord, with this patience. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God this morning, we've talked about how patience ultimately comes from God and drawing near to God. The reason that is because Jesus is constantly showing patience to you. If you're not a child of God this morning, the Lord is showing patience to you. Today is another opportunity to put your trust into Him, to believe in Him, and to put Him on in baptism. And if you are a child of God and you're wrestling with sin in your life, and maybe you're giving in to it, the Lord is still being patient with you. Today is an opportunity to reinvigorate your life with Him. We want to help you however we can. Whatever your need is, you can come forward as we stand and sing together.